Welcome to Garden of Eden Ministries. You are welcome here. Our ministry is an online ministry focused on strengthening and equipping the Bride of Christ to finish her end-time mission. We have prayer calls Monday and Tuesdays at 7:30 a.m. and Bible studies on Monday and Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Go to our website to find out more at www.gom.us. Do you want trustworthy Christian news? Then follow Dr. June Knight. We are on Patreon at www.patreon.com/Dr. June Knight Weir. Thank you for checking us out. God bless you. Psalm chapter 96 verse 8 calls believers to honor God, declaring, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." It is a profound invitation to recognize God's supreme majesty and present oneself before him in worship and gratitude. Worship is an active, physical act that traditionally involves bringing a sacrifice or a tribute, today interpreted as a spiritual offering, like thanksgiving, service, or tithes.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. On this Tuesday morning, it is a beautiful day here. So thankful for it. Let me see if my... I don't know why it's taking so long to send. Let me see here. I would like some feedback from you guys that get my text messages. Do you click on those links or can I just send you a text message saying we're live now? Let me know. I'm thinking the reason I have this delay is because it's so big. My little box, I don't know. Let me see here. If y'all get it twice, just forgive me. Okay, let me send this one. I have two groups that I send to. There you go. All right, you should get it now. Okay, very good. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I hope everybody is doing well today on this Tuesday. I know text is good, but what I want to know is, you know how on the text I put all the links to like Facebook and Band and all that? Do you click on those or do you just go over there as soon as I say I'm live? If that's the case, it'd be a lot easier for me just to shoot a text out real quick and say live now. You know what I mean? Because I guess that would be just as good because when I say I'm live, you know where to go. I'm only live in two places. You know what I mean? Except when I do services like that. Okay, very good, Ardina. Very good. Thank you. When we do church events like what we're doing right now, we do these on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Band and on Patreon. But when we do news items per se, those are not done on all those channels. It's only the two channels because we are underground, basically. So those I can just say live now, probably on all of them, because the only ones that's on the text list. Okay, very good, Tabitha. The only ones that are on the text list are the ones from Band anyways. Now, I do want to tell you guys on Patreon, Band is better. If you can go to Band, Just text me at 731-733-0532. Text me, and then I will give you the information on how to get on band, because I do vet people on band. Everybody in band, I know these people. I vetted them, and they're all very comfortable talking to one another, sharing their thoughts and sharing links. We have a lot of different chat rooms. It's the band news is the more personable one. It's the one, I guess I should be telling this on the news, but still for Patreon. On Patreon. Now, if you want to be a part of our church, that's another thing. We have a band church. Just give me a text as well, and I can give you the link there. If you want to be a part of our church like this, Bible study church and whatnot, thank you guys as well for having grace for us this weekend while we remodeled our living room. We just repainted it. It looks really pretty. We're still putting things together. And we have three goats right now that are actually pregnant. They're due any day. We may have one being birthed today. So as soon as I get off here, I have to run to the back 40, is what we call the back fields. Run to the back 40 and check on our goats and make sure them females have food. All three females are pregnant. So it's just like it was this winter. All three of our girls have babies. So that's what I'll be doing after this. I've already got my news set up, so I'm ready to go on the news. That will begin at noon. But I need to run back there and check on them lady goats. Okay, so anyway. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let me tell you something about this Acts Bible study, okay? This Bible study is so important because of the times that we are living in. We are about to go into the craziest days that mankind has ever seen. It's unprecedented, like in legal terms. When you say unprecedented, it means it's never been done, never been seen, never been evaluated, never been lived. But God chose us to live in this era, in this time period, in the last days, in the last minute. He chose us. Just like these apostles that we're studying right here, you know, they were chosen for their period. And you have to know, and I've learned this through my exploits, is that everyone that is called are all just average people. I'm talking about real people that are called, not plants and all the other stuff that we know of. But I'm talking about the average American Joe. Not American, but average Joe. Okay? All they are people that say yes. Remember, I told you guys when I went to Bible college how I got to meet all these people from all over the world who were just like me. People with past, people with histories, people that don't feel worthy for the calling that God is calling them to. That's what Bible college, real Bible college, is for. It's to shape them into their calling. So they have to deal with a lot of healing. Bible college is a lot of healing. You know, where God goes in there and carves the heart. That's what it's supposed to be for. It's a, well, with Rob Parsley's anyway, his was the school of the spirit, you know. And that's what it's like, because it deals with who you are as a person, what you have done in the past, and how are you going to overcome that to really represent God in the future. This is why I know these people that are out here saying that they are thank you, Pamela. Now I forgot what I was saying. My husband just whipped me a little bit on. I got in trouble by my husband. I don't know if he's listening right now, but I just got in trouble, so it kind of threw me off. What was I saying? Somebody talked to me out here. I shouldn't have looked at my text messages. I need some feedback over here. What was I saying? Help a sister. Bible college. Okay. Oh, all right. So Bible college is a place for healing, restoration, and a time for God to mold you into your calling. That's why I know these people are a farce. These people are called freedom farce because of what they are still involved in, things they have on their name that they're refusing to let go of that God would never agree with. Do I have to say the name? The point that I'm saying is a true watchman, oh, God is going to dig, dig, dig. He is going to deal with you about what you was involved in. Because if you're going to be a watchman, you're going to be on the front line of the enemy. Because you're exposing the enemy's plans. So you have to shut him down. So God has to get all that stuff out. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? It is a process. You look at Joseph, what Joseph went through in the Bible. Joseph had to go through a process, didn't he? He had to get thrown in the pit. He had to be rejected by his family. You know, they almost killed him, yada, yada. Goes to the castle, God elevates him. And then he turns around and he's kind to his family. But the point that I'm trying to say is that Joseph's time was Joseph's time. The apostles' time that we're studying right now is the apostles' time. But our time is right now. It's our time. Okay? So the days that we're going into are unprecedented, never been seen before. We have a glimpse of a little bit of what it's going to look like because of the things that we've been studying and looking at and examining and going through very thoroughly, you know, these plots and plans that enemy has in store for the people in the future. And so we have an idea and we know that without the grace of God, we cannot do that. We cannot stand up against a 10-foot tall giant that is looking at us literally, that they have created through CRISPR, of which these people, these YouTubers are warning everybody, the giants are coming, the giants are coming. What if that happens in our generation? Are we going to be the Davids of his generation that took the sling and knocked that thing down? That stood before giants and had faith in God? Without faith, you won't please God. Right now, and y'all know God just dealt with me about my faith. A lot of people, well, actually everybody, is being tested in their faith level right now. But it's us growing. We're growing. We're children of the living God. We're going to be changed and transformed into the person that he has called us to be. As we seek his face, as we study his word. So us studying the book of Acts right now, you couldn't ask for a better time to study the book of Acts. Let's look at the apostles. You know, these were people that were called out of their regular lifestyles and asked by Jesus to leave their families, to follow a man they have never met. To go out and to watch this man be so persecuted and then crucified after he poured out his life to them and his story and his expectations and what is coming. He poured it out to the apostles. And then, whenever he left, he said, I'm sending you guys a gift. I know you can't do this world on your own. You're going to have the Holy Ghost. But I have to leave so that he can come. So then when he left, his instructions was to go to the upper room. Go to the upper room. And all I'm asking of you guys is to go up there and just pray. They go up there and they pray. A mighty rushing wind happens. The Holy Ghost fills the room. Fire rests on their heads as they begin to let their tongues follow the Holy Ghost. The tongues was the evidence that the temple is rebuilt. Do you get it now? The Holy Ghost brought the temple within. If the Holy Ghost can impregnate Mary, the Holy Ghost can create a temple. Bam. The Holy Ghost brought the temple. And now the Holy Ghost is within and filling people. When they ask to be filled, it's his will that every human be filled with the glory of God and with the power of the Holy Ghost to be able to do what God has called us to do in this time, in this era, in this destiny, in this unprecedented timing that we're living in. And I believe that the book of Acts is going to strengthen our faith, of which we need, and is going to give us examples of suffering. The New Apostolic Reformation Church does not believe in suffering. Why is that? Because they don't believe in the truth. Jesus says himself, you will suffer as I suffer. That's a real Christian. A real Christian is going to suffer. When you stand up for truth, when you stand up for righteousness, when you stand up for Jesus and the truth of his word, you are going to suffer. But when you want to placate the world and you go out here and you agree with them and you partner with their idols and you tickle their little demons, oh yeah, you may have fun in the world. You may be prosperous in the world. You may be accepted in the world, but you're not with God, because God does not mix. Let me say that again. God does not mix. And that's what this ecumenical movement is doing. It is mixing. This new group, I told on the news last night how this new group is forming within MAGA, which is such a farce. It's just them splitting up to pull more people in. Crazy. But anyway, so they call themselves the new movement, the new revolution. And these people are public with their ecumenical, although the other MAGA is more silent because they want all the Christians over there. But in this new formation of this new party that's forming, they want everyone. Come on, come all. Get rid of the far right and get rid of the far left. Everyone come together so we can have peace. I'm going to show you on the news today about what they're really doing with that word peace. Anyway, not trying to get in the news, but what I'm trying to tell you is the very serious times that we're living in and how we need the book of Acts. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you for empowering us today, Lord, by the Holy Ghost. Thank you to Jesus who left and gave us the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost is shaping our temple. and helping us by leading us and guiding us into all the truth, empowering us to do the supernatural like Jesus did. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for everyone that is watching, Lord, that their eyes will see and their ears will hear. Because your word says in the book of Revelation, let the ears hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. So, Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We worship you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll be right back and then we'll get started. All right, I'm back. Let's go ahead and get started here. Now, we are in Acts chapter 4, and just to let everyone know, I use King James only. That's the Bible that I choose to believe. Also, I want to say this to you that don't listen to my news. Last night, we announced that AI is destroying physical books. Cutting off their backs, basically, is what it's doing. It's cutting the spine of physical books and destroying them. But what it's doing is it is sucking up the words within the system. So let me just tell you this real quick, because I'm a book publisher, so I know this. When you publish books, you are taking, okay, like say for me, an author. You take an author, and I'm putting my words into this book. I am a tree in God's great garden. My words are seeds, okay? My seeds are planted into another tree, which is a book. When another tree in the garden somewhere reads my book, my seeds are being deposited into their tree. Isn't that beautiful? So if you take away that tree that you're reading from, those words to me are null and void. It's not the same as coming from a natural tree. That's the way I see it. Because we go from tree to tree. When you read the word, it's so much better having a physical book that you can touch, you can highlight. And sometimes those words just like come to life on there. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, it's like eating a T-bone steak, isn't it? That's the way I see it. So do not make sure you protect your Bibles is my advice. Your Bibles and your respective books, like mine, if you have mine, protect them. Save them, because they're going to get rid of written text. Isn't that something? Just wait until one day they come after Bibles. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. Acts chapter 4. And as they spoke unto the people. Well, first, let me start off reading this. Acts chapter 4 means the early church faced its first arrest. Boldly proclaiming Jesus as the only way to be saved. Hold it a minute. You mean to tell me that what we're about to read is exactly what we're going through today? No way. Because the Jews that say they're Jews and are not are coming after people through the Noahide laws that says if you believe, they don't say this, but this is what their laws mean, is if you believe that Jesus is the only way to be saved, then you will be executed. Now, of course, listen, let me just tell you guys this about the Noahide laws right now. Now that they're coming more forward and the world is starting to wake up that this is really happening, and they're starting over there in Jerusalem with the courts and yada, yada. Now they're starting to deny the rabbis. Oh, we're denying that people will be executed. No, because they want everybody to accept it. But you better know this. It is not going to be humans that are going to be executing you. It's going to be AI. Because they are going to be using artificial intelligence, because that's their God, to execute their law. Just like we had back in the old day in the natural world. Remember, I told you this new world is fake, synthetic, artificial intelligence. But back in the old world, where God was God, and you had the natural world, you had the law in a book, didn't we? We had the law written on God's natural. It started out in a rock, right? In God's natural earth. Yeah. It's actually opposite in this end time scenario. So we are going through the same thing that these apostles did. You can't make this up. Boldly proclaiming Jesus as the only way to be saved. And shared everything as one united community, which means the church was together in one accord. It continues the story from Acts 3 after Peter and John heal a man who could not walk. Remember that story? At the gate, beautiful. The arrest. Religious leaders, the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin. Uh-oh. You mean the very ones that has the Sanhedrin court over in Jerusalem? Yes. Same scenario. Arrest Peter and John for teaching about Jesus and the resurrection. The defense. Peter speaks with great courage, saying the disabled man was healed by the name of Jesus Christ, whom the leaders crucified, but God raised. The key verse, Acts 4:12. States that salvation is found in no one else, because no other name in heaven is given to save people. Bam! In your face, devil. Bam! The release. The leaders warn them to stop speaking about Jesus, but Peter and John reply that they must talk about what they have seen and heard. The prayer and unity. The prayer for boldness. Peter and John return to the other believers. They pray together for strength and courage to keep sharing God's message. Okay, that's a key right now. We need to pray and ask God for the courage to carry his message. Amen. That's a good nugget today. The shaking place. God answers their prayer by shaking the place where they meet and they are filled with the Holy Spirit. Our eyes sharing everything. The believers live in complete unity. No one claims that their possessions are only their own. They share everything so that no person in their group is in need. Barnabas is highlighted for selling a field and giving the money to the apostles. Okay, so they're all together in one accord. Now that you have an overview of what we're about to read, let's continue. And as they spoke unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold in jail until the next day, for it was now eventide. Uh-oh. So you got the Sadducees and the Pharisees arresting these apostles saying, we don't like you preaching that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. Oh, there's 2 5,000s. No, wait, let me back up. This is multiplication, actually, because the first one was Peter. When he preached, was 3,000 was saved. Now it's 5,000. Even though they got arrested while they're preaching. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Okay, now I just had a thought hit my spirit. Okay. These guys, let's just stand on their side for a minute. And let's look at our end time scenario situation we're facing today. Okay, here's these guys that believe completely in the Old Testament order. But they've kind of also mixed all this other junk in here. Because now they have mixed in with Kabbalah and all these other books and sages and yada yada. So they've basically kind of formed their own religion here. Now, these guys in their mind really think they are doing right by the law that they know of those days. Okay? And so if you look at the end time scenario, it's kind of the same way. You take all these Gnar people that we know are partnering with the beast. They've compromised kind of like these old groups over here. But they kind of feel like that what they're doing is of God. They're going to kill you thinking they're doing it for God. It's the way the Bible describes it. It's the same kind of scenario here. But why is that though? It's called deception. It's called compromise. It's called tainted. It's called having your dress dirty. Jesus is coming back after a bride without spot and without wrinkle. That's what that means, spotted. Remember when, who was it in the Old Testament? Okay, the one that was marrying Rebecca, Jacob. Jacob wanted to marry Rebecca. He didn't want Leah. Okay, so he made a deal with Rebecca's father and said, listen, I'm going to go out here and when I leave, I'm going to take all of the cattle that has the spots and all the other stuff. And the father's like, okay, I'll let you have them. I want the perfect ones. So what did he do to taint them? He puts in a reed. He does something sneaky to put it in there so that the cattle would become tainted, according to the father's beliefs. So then he left with all this cattle that was so-called tainted. But the point is that it was not perfect. He made it that way. But they were still good and whatnot. But y'all get my point. Is that when these people mix, like what he did with those cattle, when these people mix, they taint their dress. Their beautiful bride, they give away their oil. Why? Because they mix with other idols. They touch the unclean thing. They spot themselves. So the point I'm trying to say is that it's the same type of scenario as this story here. These people think they're doing right when they're coming after Jesus and they think, who is this guy who's coming in here? He cannot be the Messiah because the Messiah would not be poor like this. The Messiah would come in as a king. He would come in on top as the man. Verse 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? Then Peter, bam, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you. Oh, bam! This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Woe, woe, woe. Remember what I said about stoning. Woe. Neither is there salvation in any other. Uh-oh. Boy, those are death words right there. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That should be on every house in the land. See, this is what gets me about them saying, you know, in God we trust. Oh, that's so cool. You know, we're going back to God. We're returning to God. Yeah, which God? Which God? There's many gods out there. You are abandoning Jesus. All of these peace deals, all you people out there are doing, coming together in the name of Abraham Accords, saying that that is the real God. If you don't accept the Lamb from the temple back in Abraham's day, if you don't accept this, the Lamb that God gave himself, there is no hope for salvation. And yes, it has to come through conversion. That's what the Bible says. We saw that yesterday in Acts chapter 3. There is a conversion that takes place. So the whole point of Jesus saying that he is the only salvation is why? Because he is the Lamb. He is the Lamb that was slain. This is the Lamb that is revealed in the book of Revelation whenever the seals are opened. Whenever judgment comes to the entire world, Jesus, the man of God, he is revealed to everyone. When Jesus comes back on that white horse in the battle of Armageddon, there's a sword coming out of his mouth that is the word of God. Jesus is the word of God. He will slay them by the word. There will be no battle. No matter how much Starlink you got, how many domes you have built, how many beast towers, beast drones, all of these things that they think is going to annihilate Jesus when he arrives in the air, that they've got all these satellites. I can just see it in the spirit, them turning all satellites as soon as they see Jesus. Oh, we're going to blast him to kingdom come. Turning all them satellites over there ready to blast him with them lasers. Oh, no. You think you have a dome over the United States that you just spent trillions of dollars on? Or you have a dome over Israel and you think these domes are going to protect you from Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where it is written on his thigh? I don't think so. Out of his mouth comes the word that destroys. It kills right there. That's the Lamb. If you do not accept the Lamb, which is the whole purpose of salvation, which fulfills the word of God, because the Bible says Jesus fulfills it all. He fulfills it all. He was the beginning and he's the end. Glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. He is worthy to be praised today. The Lamb, he is worthy to be praised. Glory, hallelujah. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. I'm on fire over here. Oh, got to read that scripture again. Neither is there salvation in any other, For there is none under other name under heaven. This is why I'm telling you guys, don't ever give up the name of Jesus. Don't ever. Because they want you to. Yeah, they do. They want to add all these other names. They want to remove the name of Jesus. Why? Because it is so offensive in the spirit. So offensive. The name above every other name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, I don't think I've ever seen you guys be so quiet in chat in my life. What's going on with you people? Is it this good or y'all just busy? Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, these are those Sadducees and Pharisees. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, who named them that? Who says so? Who says so? These men are ignorant men. Who says so? Well, here's another way to look at it. That may be an interpretation of King James. It says here, Acts 4:13 says, the leader saw the courage of Peter and John, knew they were ordinary men, and realized that they have been with Jesus. You can read different translations. Okay. The courage. The leaders were shocked by how brave Peter and John were when they spoke. Oh, everybody lift your hands right now, say, in the name of Jesus, fill us with that boldness, Lord. Fill us with that courage, Lord, to speak your word with boldness. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And how does it come? Through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes, it does. And it is so sad when these denominations want to put down being filled with the Holy Ghost. Why does it offend you so much? Why would you not want all of what God has to offer? That even this is how the church was born. And then if you take the book of Acts, okay, let's talk about this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. First four books of the Bible are all different interpretations of Jesus. They're all different interpretations of how Jesus came to the earth and their testimonies of what happened. Okay. Then the book of Acts, I mean, really you could kind of put a split between that. And the book of Acts starts a whole nother Bible, a whole nother book. Because now Jesus is gone. The Holy Ghost has come, and now the new church has begun. So when we're reading the book of Acts, we are reading what is the church supposed to be like for real? For real. What is the church supposed to be like? We're seeing it. Because now Jesus left and said, listen, guys, I know I have to leave, and I know you cannot do this on your own. So I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost, and he is going to give you supernatural in every way to endure this world. He's going to help you to hear me clearly. But I have to leave so that he can be revealed, the third part of the Trinity. Jesus leaves. They watch him go up. Then when the Holy Spirit comes, now you see this transformation of the apostles operating in dunamis power of the Holy Ghost. Not within their own strength, but is this dispensation that we're in right now, they call it the dispensation of grace, is one theological explanation. But it's actually, if you could say it in a better way, what it is, it's the dispensation of the Holy Ghost revelation. Now we are learning this third part of the Trinity, okay? So Jesus left, gave us the temple, which moved inside the human body, this pile of dirt, this rock house. Now the temple is in, within. Jesus says, confess with your mouth and I will come in. Believe and I will come in. I knock on the door, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you will open that door, I will come in with you. I will sup with you and he with me. What he means by that is open your heart. Open the door. There's doors into our house. This is what I say about people who took the jab. You've opened a door, you better shut it. You got to shut the doors that you open to the enemy and allowed to come in. So you open the door to Jesus, he comes in. He sets up on the throne of your heart. Then that's one thing. Then the next step for a Christian is to get baptized in water. You are now, you're saved, but you get baptized in water. Then you get baptized in fire. That's why the fire was over the apostles when they got filled, because it was the baptism of fire. It was the baptism of fire. Fire's around the throne of God. That fire is what is going to help you to be molded like a sword. The word of God is a sword. You are being molded into a sword as a weapon. You are a weapon because you are born here in the earth. You have rights in the earth as long as your flesh body is here. Your flesh body is one of your little trinity. You have the flesh body. You have the soul, which is what is judged, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then God gave you a spirit. Every person gets a spirit. That is your conscience. That's why the Bible says that those people that live out in the bush, never hear the name of Jesus, they will not go to hell because they never heard. That's the mercy of God. They will be judged by their conscience because the Holy Spirit, well, because the spirit that God gave them is there. Now, when a person dies, that spirit goes back to God. The body goes back to the earth, dust to dust. And then the soul is what hangs in the balance. That soul is what is judged. And immediately upon the last breath of the body, that soul enters into their destiny. It enters into their destination, either heaven or hell. One day that soul is going to stand before judgment day. Every one of us is that white throne judgment. This is the second death. Because the person will be judged, and then the measure of the rest of their eternity is done through the white throne judgment. In other words, how hot is hell and how much blessings you're going to get in heaven. But you will enter as soon as you take your last breath. I've told you guys stories about praying with people on their deathbed and seeing this myself. One time I was praying for that man, he was 102 years old, and I entered into heaven with him in his nursing home. Soon as I laid hands on him with all these executives from the country music industry that was all standing in there, there's probably 30 people. His grandchildren, I mean, there was pictures all over the wall of what a good man this man was. He was 102. His wife was 92. She was in a wheelchair sitting by his bed. He was in a coma. I was in the back of the room waiting for about an hour. I just sat back there and was quiet. I waited till the prompting of the Holy Spirit to tell me when to go pray. I was observing the room. They was all standing around crying about their grandpa and how much they loved him. And I was admiring the room with all the love of his family and everything that's there with him. And then the Lord said, now it's time. I stood up. This was the first time I prayed. I didn't know what I was doing. I just trusted in the Holy Ghost. And I stood up and said, excuse me, it's time to pray for the grandpa. The grandma had rolled out of the room prior to this, so she was not in there. I walked up there scared out of my wits, not knowing what I was doing. But as soon as I laid my hands on that man that was in a coma on this bed, as soon as I laid my hands on him and I started praying, I was catapulted into heaven. I saw what that man saw, because let me tell you something. When you die a beautiful natural death like this man, there is a transition that takes place. A lot of people don't know this, but there's some going in and some going out. You may see your grandma and you may come back and tell your family members, I just saw grandma. Can't you see my mom sitting across the room? Can't you see dad right over here? No. Why? Because their spirit's going back and forth. God taught me this. So as I catapulted over there and I'm talking to Jesus, I see the angels welcome him into heaven, bow down to him as far as you could see, saying, welcome home. His family members were there. And I was crying to Jesus. I said, what a man this is. I don't know who this is that I'm praying for, Lord, but he's got to be royalty. This man is royalty. I have no idea who this is. But Lord, thank you for his testimony here, whatever it was. Thank you for his life. Lord, I pray for all of his kids, his grandkids, Lord, to carry this legacy on. And I'm just pouring this out, boy, just what I'm seeing. I'm talking to Jesus over in heaven. I'm having my own little conversation going on here. Well, after I finished my prayer, I come out of this and I'm standing in this room. There was not a dry eye in that room. That's right. They was all weeping. And they said, that is the best prayer I've ever heard in my life. And I was weeping myself. And I told them, I said, let me tell y'all something. I don't know your grandpa, but he's royalty. He is royalty to God. And I walked out of the room. This was on a Saturday. I'll never forget this. Went to church the next day, and I thought, I'm going to go check on him. His name was Benjamin. Went back the next day, walked in to the nursing home, and the sister saw me coming down the hall. Took off running. Oh, I can't wait to tell you what happened after you left yesterday. Wow, wow, wow. And she said, right after you left, our mother rolled back in. She saw everyone bawling. She grabbed his hand and said, honey, you can go now. And when she said that, he took his last breath. He waited. He waited for his wife. Before he left, before he let go of that body, he waited. I can't tell you how many I prayed for. It was like that. They will. They'll wait until that loved one gets there. One time I prayed for this woman. She was in her 70s. She is pretty young. But the hospice program told me, said, man, we're just going to tell you this woman's got schizophrenia. I'm like, okay, you know. So I get there to the nursing home. There she is, you know. She's kind of talking to the TV screen. I should play that song about Benjamin. I've got it. Let me see if I can find it before I start this story. Hold on. after, let me just go back to that Benjamin deal. After she told me that, you know, how his mom grabbed the hand and he took his last breath, I went to the funeral and I told his family about it. They were so blessed. I guess it was a month later, the Lord gave me a dream. And the Lord told me, he said, I found the video, sis. I'm going to upload it right now and I'll play it. Come to find out, this man was 75 years old. I mean, for 75 years, he served one church, which was a Baptist church. He served five pastors. He did nothing but clean the church and help their pastors in any way he could. He was married to his wife for 72 years. Just a servant. He was a servant at heart. And so about a month later, the Lord gave me a dream. And he told me in this dream, he gave me a song. And the song is called Royal Moment of Time. Hold on just a second here. It's processing right now. Let me take a quick little commercial break and hopefully it'll be ready. I'll be right back.
Psalm chapter 96 verse 8 calls believers to honor God, declaring, Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. It is a profound invitation to recognize God's supreme majesty and present oneself before him in worship and gratitude. Worship is an active, physical act that traditionally involves bringing a sacrifice or a tribute, today interpreted as a spiritual offering, like thanksgiving, service, or tithes.
Very good, very good. All right, it's processing right now. But that story blessed so many people that one night when I was going to the Assembly of God in Clarksville, and I stood up and told the story this story of Benjamin. And when I told the story of Benjamin, I actually played this video and I showed them the testimony of Benjamin and what God did. And it featured that church that he had served. It was the biggest church in our town at the time. Hold on just a second here. And it went really good. I mean, I'm just going to say this right now. I'm going to rebuke somebody in the name of Jesus. She is a woman over here on Facebook. And I rebuke you in the name of Jesus for being a spy for the Noahide Law Group that you're involved with on Facebook. And delving into the Noahide laws after you have been with me for a long time. So now you are spying in the camp. I rebuke you. And I humbly warn you again to get out of the fire and quit jumping on the fence, playing both sides, because you will go to an eternal hell if you do not choose Jesus. You are playing with fire, sister. And you know who I'm talking to, because I'm looking at you right there in their chat group, and I'm looking at you asking me to be your friend who is watching this Bible study and used to be a Christian. You should know better. So I pray you stop that mess, get out of that, repent to God, and quit floating the fence. And don't use me for them and report back to them what I'm saying and doing. Because God is my defender in the mighty name of Jesus. And that's all I'm going to say about it. All right, let's continue here. Okay, so I think the video is up now. Now watch this video, sister, the one playing both sides. Watch this video, and I hope you choose the right side. All right, here we go.
Had a great ministry inside of First Baptist.
Now please elaborate on his ministry. What did he do here?
Everything. He was a servant. I would talk about Mr. Ben from a real servant perspective. He was quiet spoken, but he was just solid in his leadership. He was on committees. He was a deacon. He, you know, just about everything you can really think about of a ministry role. And he also, in his leadership, actually served as a custodian on our staff, just doing ministry work, not in just so many different ways that he was just really serving people. And that's how everybody would characterize him, as just a servant leader.
Aww.
He just loved people. That was his giftedness. And he found ways just to serve by doing the little things, you know, cleaning the building, working with people, meeting their needs. If they needed something, for him to provide it. That was a huge way that he served the church.
101 was Benjamin. He served with all of his heart. He worked in his church the last 75 years as he loved his wife for 73. I had the honor of praying as Benjamin went to meet the Lord. By his bed I did pray at the end, and the Lord took me to heaven. The moment I touched Benjamin, the Lord opened the portal into heaven. I saw the angels bow down to greet him as he met the one he served. Benjamin was a humble man. He did not seek fortune or fame. I could not pray, but weep at this royal moment of time. I saw angels bow down to greet him as he met the one he served. I couldn't pray but weep at his royal moment of time. I couldn't pray but weep at his royal moment of time. I couldn't pray but weep at his royal moment of time. Now Benjamin is with the one he served.
Isn't that beautiful? The next little story I want to tell you is about a woman. She was, in her 70s. She was in the nursing home, and she's the one that they told me she had schizophrenia. So when I walked in there, I saw her talking to the TV. And they was telling me how she was a schizophrenic because she used to talk to the TV all the time. But, honey, I walked in, here's this woman. You old devil, get off that TV. I see you up there. So I was like, this woman, she ain't no schizophrenia. She's Pentecostal. So I asked this woman, I said, ma'am, I said, are you a Christian? She's like, yes, ma'am. She goes, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost too. I said, what kind of church do you go to? She said, Assembly of God. I said, I knew it. Too funny. But she was not schizophrenic. She was just speaking in tongues and talking to the devil. Anyway. So this woman, we ended up becoming really good friends. I was ministering to her for 4 months, coming in and reading the Bible to her and holding hands. And I'd pray for her about her kids all the time because her kids lived in the town but never come to see her. And she was dying and everything. That's why I was there, because you have only 6 weeks whenever they call in hospice, usually, you know. It can go like 6 weeks up to 6 months, but I was with her 4 months before she died, so it was 4 months. But anyway, so during this time is when I was going down to that creek praying all the time and talking to the Lord. I was losing everything. I had lost my brand new car, was repossessed, lost my apartment, yada, yada. So, she was with me through all that, and that was great because I had somebody to talk to about it. And I used to pray for her all the time about her kids. That hurt her so much. And then one day she was telling me who her pastor was. I said, what? And she goes, I said, are you talking about the happy pastor? She goes, yeah. I said, I know that man. She said, what? I said, yeah. Honey, I called that man that day. He was in Nashville, 100 miles away. And I told him, sir, I have got one of your church members that was in your church for 30 years and she's dying, sir. I said, that's her last wish is to see you. He said, I'll be there tomorrow. And I made her the most beautiful poster board. And I brought my camera and here he come. And you should have seen. Now, this woman, at the time when he arrived, was in and out of comas, going in and out, in and out. You know, she's that close to death. And so, very weak and everything. So, when he walked in the room, it was the funniest. I wish I could have had it on video. It was the funniest thing you ever seen. This woman rose up out of that bed like she was 30 years old and Jesus had walked in the room. She was like, Pastor, oh, she was so excited, threw them arms out. Oh, he come over there and he hugged her and everything. Well, he had that woman rolling, and I was taking picture after picture after picture. Boy, I was rolling in pictures. And he was telling her stories and everything, just having her rolling. And, you know, he spent a good 2 hours with her. And, you know, so finally I left him alone. You know, I was with him about the first 30 minutes, and then I left him alone. And he was really ministering to her and everything. So when he left, I told him, I said, sir, you just don't know what that did for that woman. He goes, yes, I do, but she don't know what that meant to me. And so the next day I come back and had her poster board full of pictures at the end of her bed so she could see him the rest of her life. But anyway, she was so blessed and everything. And but some sad things that I noticed before I finish her story is that in the nursing homes, if any of you guys are considering, I would really like to get out there and love on people but don't know what to do, go to nursing homes in your city. Just go in there and just start visiting the elderly. Because let me tell you something. Those elderly sit around in those chairs and they just rot. They sit around there all day. Nobody ever comes to see them, including their family. And they sit around there in that chair and just rot away. They're drugged up on medicine. They've lost hope because families are not coming to see them. They're not spending time with them, and they feel so destitute. I encourage you to go to your nursing home. That's what I saw there. It actually disturbed me so much that I wrote an article about it and posted about, where is our churches, man? These people in here have no one. No one is visiting these people. So much so that my pastor got so mad at me because he thought I was aiming it at him, but I wasn't. I was aiming it at the church. We cannot leave our elderly out here, you know. And that's like, y'all remember my elderly neighbor that her husband just died? She's now a widow. We've been helping her for 4 years now. Now she's got her brother there, and her brother's going through the same thing her husband did. Now she's taking care of her brother. I mean, what a, we help her. Dennis went up there last night, stayed by an hour, and, you know, checked all the oil in her car because she has to take him to the hospital all the time. You know, we got to be neighbors to our elderlies and help them out and go visit the nursing home. And let me tell you something. I know that we know what is coming. But we still have society out here that needs Jesus. We still have the love of Jesus that needs to be shown to these elderly people. And let me tell you, when you focus on other people in ministry, it helps you more than you can imagine. It blesses your soul beyond measure when you can see others being blessed. It's better to give than to receive. Do you hear what I'm saying? So going back to this woman. So I went to her the day that my car was repossessed. And I told her, I said, ma'am, they just called me and they said that my car is going to be repossessed in an hour. So I've only got these few minutes to be with you, ma'am. And, you know, I'm very sorry, but this will be the last time I can come up here. And listen, she was in a coma when I told her this. And I told her, I said, the Lord showed me that you guys can hear me even when you're in a coma. So I'm just telling you, it has been an honor being your friend for these 4 months. It's been an honor praying with you. I want to thank you for praying with me, encouraging me when you're the one suffering. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know what she did? She come out of her coma. She come out of her coma to talk to me. And she looked at me in the eyes and she said, I want to thank you for being with me. I love you. And I told her, I said, I love you too. she died that night. The next morning was a Sunday morning. And I got a phone call about 7 o'clock that morning. And it was the hospice program. And they said, June, we just want to tell you that she died last night. And I said, they said it was about midnight. And I said, about midnight or one. And I said, please, I just want to know, did the kids come and see her? That's all I want to know. Because we had prayed that she would see her kids before she died. And they said, no, they didn't. Oh, I cried and cried and cried and cried. I cried so hard. It wasn't even funny. And so I didn't even want to go to church. I was so upset at God, at us praying and plowing heaven for 4 months, and he let her die alone. Oh, that was the saddest thing. So the woman came to pick me up from church since I didn't have a car. And I said, I ain't going to church today. I am so sad. I said, she died. I'm so sad that she had to die alone. And she goes, no, you're going to church because you need us. And I went to church and I got on my face. I went to the altar during worship and I laid on that floor and I cried my anger out. I was so upset. I cried and cried. So it was a couple of days later, I got a phone call. And the hospice program said, June, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? They said, we was wrong. We found out the truth, what happened that night. At midnight, God himself woke up her two daughters and said, get to the nursing home now. She is dying. They walked in, went to her room. Guess what? She woke up out of her coma and got to spend the last 30 minutes of her life with her two daughters, telling them how much she loved them. And when the hospice center told me that, I cried so hard in gratefulness. Look at the faithfulness of God, that he thought about her prayers and he woke the children up to come say bye. And they held her hands while she took her last breath. Glory be to Jesus. Glory be to Jesus. Yes, he's an on-time God every time. And that is what happened. At the last minute, he brought the kids. And the fact that she come out of the coma, you know. So I was very, very blessed by that. Okay, let's get back to the, y'all know I got stories. So let's get back to the Bible study. Okay, here. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, which means they knew they were just normal people, right? They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could not say nothing against it. Like I was telling that woman over here on Facebook who's a spy for the Noahides, telling her, God is my defense. God taught me that years ago. You can spy all you want, but God is my, he's my defender. I can't do this by myself anyway. Going back to the word here. But when they had commanded them to go outside, to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Thank you, Trish. Thank you, guys. In other words, the Sadducees and the Pharisees were in there, and they were saying, What are we going to do? These people are proving that they are legit. They're nobody. But yet they're walking around with the power of Jesus, doing what Jesus did. And everybody knows it too, so we're kind of stuck here. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they should speak no more of this man in his name. Can you believe that? They're like, we can't punish them, but we just want to hurt them a little bit, you know? We just want to kind of threaten them and tell them, don't you speak that name anymore. In other words, I'm going to threaten you to stop. And they called them and commanded them, don't you speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. Bam! For we cannot speak but the things which we have seen and heard. In other words, this is what I've been telling you guys too. This is what I've been telling you guys. Your testimony is your power. Your testimony is yours alone. Your story is for God's glory. People can look at you like you're strange because you have this testimony, but that is your testimony. And that's what they're saying right here. We're only speaking what we have seen and heard. Nobody can speak against their own testimony. Believe it or not, this is my testimony. This is my journey with God. This is what I've been through. If you don't understand it, that's between you and God. So when they have further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? God got the glory. Reminds me of that song. To God be the glory. Remember this song? To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Remember this? In his love, he has saved me. In his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Y'all remember that song? One time I was in Assembly of God Church, we had like 100-member choir, baby. We was up there rocking that song out. Yes, we was. We had a band. So you can imagine 100-member choir with a band that was full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, we used to gather for an hour before every service where we sang, and we would pray in tongues and anoint us to go sing to the Lord. We was already in the spirit by the time we got out there in worship. So, baby, we were singing that song one day, and the fire guy come down. We sang that song, I bet, 5 times. I mean, the Holy Ghost rocked that house. Man, I wish I could get back in those kind of services. They just don't have them anymore. Is there anybody out there that is going to a church like that, where the Holy Ghost takes over and people running around, running to the altar, getting saved, yada, yada, the fire God, people weeping? Where are those days? Where are those services? That's why I'm hoping Friday night, by the way, where we're doing this prayer at the garden. I'm praying we see miracles like this. I'm praying I have fresh new stories from this, where we have people that come in and we have miracles happen like we did with that. I had the wrong, I told you 102, he's 101. Benjamin. Oh, I wanted to, talking about the woman that I prayed with that was in her 70s and died and her kids came. I meant to play this song that I sang years ago. And this song is called, I Bowed on My Knees and Cried Holy. Darn it. I've got to upload it over here. Hold on. Shoot. I want y'all to hear this song. I'll have to wait for it to upload. Okay. So let's go back over here. But when it uploads and processes, I'm dedicating this to that beautiful woman. Okay. Now, so when they had further threatened him, they let him go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because the people, for all men, glorified God for that which was done. For the man was about 40 years old, of whom the miracle of healing was showed. Wow. Okay. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Really, your church reminds you of a church of God, and it's an assembly of God. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Some churches of God was so legalistic, man, you couldn't even move in there. They were so legalistic. Or do you mean like that, where the fire comes down, the prayer meetings and all that stuff? Okay, now, and when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Isn't that beautiful, glorifying God? Who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Oh, 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 man. Wow. This just verifies what I was telling that woman over on Facebook. Lord, behold her threatenings. Because the Lord is our defender. Amen. That's what they're saying right here. The Lord is our defender. And grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And Lord, I'm asking you for that right now amongst the spies. Make me even bolder, Lord. Give me your strength. By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. Bam. And when they had prayed, here we go. Here we go, baby. I pray this happens Friday night. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Bam. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither of them that ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Bam. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, here we are, guys. This song is uploaded. This is dedicated to that lady. Here we go.
And oh, the sights I saw. But then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. And then I bowed on my knees and cried, holy, holy. I cried, holy.
Yeah, purple is my favorite color, but Lord, the design on it, it's funny how it is when you see it in a different perspective. But that was back in 2013. That was back when I first started in my pit. And that church that you saw there, that's the one where I tell a lot of the stories from, actually. It's the one where I played that story of Benjamin. It's also the one that I talked about singing in that choir. It was that church. And then That church is the one. This is the Assembly of God in Clarksville, Tennessee. This was the last pastor, Pastor Jones. It was so good back then, back in the 80s and early 90s. But anyway, this is the church that I tell you about all the altar call experiences, where people are down at the altar, they're praying with people, they're rolling on the floor, they're groaning, they're yelling, you know, they're crying, they're screaming. Demons are being cast out. That altar, that's the church. And also, I just thought of another story that happened there. A couple of them. What was the one? One time when my son was 15 years old, God came to see him every 5 years. Jesus did. And when he was five, this is Brock, when he was five, he got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues for 2 days. And Jesus came to see him and talked to him, but he couldn't remember what he said. So then when he was 10, we was at this revival, and this evangelist prayed for him. He fell out on the floor. He spoke in tongues for an hour. And I sat there. I was sitting in a chair just speaking in tongues while he's having this heavenly visitation. On the way home, he said, "Mama, Jesus talked to me." I said, "What did he say? Do you remember this time?" He said, "Yes." He said, "He has called me to go preach to the nations." I about slammed on my brakes. I was like, "What? My son is called to preach? I can't believe it. I never would have thought." You know what I mean? So after that, you know, he went through a lot of stuff. I mean, he got tortured at school. He was in the fifth grade. And he would pray for kids at the altar. They'd get slain in the spirit. Not at the altar, but I mean at the elementary school. He was in elementary school. And they'd be out on the playground, and he'd cast demons out, and they'd lay on the ground. They got healed. One time, the school bus driver was getting mad at this kid. There was a little bully, and he thought he would torture the kid by making him sit with Brock. And when he sat by Brock, a demon was trying to torture Brock, and Brock looked at him and said, "Come out, devil, in the name of Jesus." And that demon left that boy right there, and he ended up becoming best friends with my son. But anyway, the point is that we're at this church, the one that you saw in that video, when he was 15. And we was had this evangelist that was speaking, and we was having this really awesome altar call, altar service. You know, where everybody's at the altar crying before God, you know, laid out everywhere. That is a real altar service, not just everybody kneeling 5 minutes and getting up. I'm talking about people laying out on the floor, people weeping. I mean, just really, a real altar call. Well, at that time, he was 15, but he was really big in the youth group because they knew his anointing. So he had a lot of favor with the pastors there. And while everybody is on the floor praying and stuff like that, he just walks up on the platform, which is never done because this was the biggest church in Clarksville at the time. And he walked up there on the platform. He didn't ask for the microphone or anything like that, but for some reason, he just obeyed the Lord. He said God told him to go up on the platform. And he went up there, and he's walking back and forth, and he's praying in tongues real loud, and he's having a heavenly visitation. And I knew what it was. So I'm sitting down in the congregation on the front row. I'm praying in tongues, weeping, watching my son just have this powwow with Jesus in the spirit. I mean, it lasted an hour, back and forth, back and forth. And they kept the music playing the whole time because those altar calls would go for hours. I mean, those were worth the church service, you know what I mean? So afterwards, we get in the car. He said, "Mama," he said, "Jesus came to see me tonight." He said, "When I walked up there on the platform, he visited me." I said, "I knew he did, son, because I was down there praying in tongues, and I knew you was having a visitation." And I said, "What did he say this time?" He said, "Mama, you're not going to believe it." I said, "What?" Now, see, at this time, He was a sophomore, and he was a captain of the football team already. See, his father was an all-state football player, muscle-bound, 6'1", big muscle guy, 260 pounds, just muscle. Okay, and I was the cheerleader, but we went to a different school. We was actually enemies. But anyway, he has athleticism in his bones, okay, in his genes. All three of our kids were superior athletes. So anyway, I said, what'd the Lord say? He said, Mama, he told me to quit football now and to start preaching. I said, what? Are you kidding? He goes, Mama, this is going to bring so much persecution. I said, I know. I mean, I felt the heaviness of what God was saying because I knew how the school depended on him, okay? And I knew he already had scouts looking at him. As a sophomore, he already had scouts looking at him. And he told me, he said, Mama, I was supposed to take them to state this year. I said, I know, son. So right after that, I had to leave and go to Florida. Y'all don't mind me telling you these stories, do you? I got another video loading, by the way. It's that same song, but at a women's conference. So anyways, I went down to Florida for my cousin who needed my help. And while I was down there, I was praying. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, when you go back to Tennessee, your son is going to walk up to you and he's going to tell you yada, 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 yada. So the Lord tells me what's coming. So he said, when you get back up there, your reply to him will be this. Thus saith the Lord, yada, yada. So I come back. Here comes Brock, boy. I pull in the driveway. Don't y'all tell Brock I'm telling y'all this, Deb. Anyway, here come Brock. Running up to Mama, Mama, guess what? You know, because Brock is mini me. He is me to the bone. In case you haven't figured that out, that is my son. Personality and all. Anyway, he comes running to Mama, Mama. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm like, what? And he said, Mama, I have decided to go back to the football team, Mama. Oh, I'm so excited. Because prior to this conversation, when he went to his football coaches and told them, God told me to quit because I have a calling on my life and he's telling me to start preaching now. Woo! They shot him down. Yes, they did. They said, no, he didn't. We are deacons in our Baptist church. And if we can coach football, you can play football. So what they did was, which I didn't know prior to Brock's running up with all this excitement news, they have been pressuring him through the students and pressured him into coming back. So he's telling me all this excitement and everything, and I looked at him square in the eyes. I said, son, the Lord already told me what you was going to tell me. And this is his reply to you. Thus saith the Lord, I have called you to leave football. You have to obey me, son. You have to. I have a destiny for you. Yada, yada. Oh, Mama, I can't. Boy, he starts crying. Mama, you just don't know the persecution I'm in right now. I just can't do it, Mama, please. I said, I'm telling you. God told me that in Florida. I knew exactly what you was going to tell me. And that was his reply. Mama, take me to the church. That's what he said. Take me to the church, Mama. It was on a Tuesday night. I'll never forget it. He said, take me to the church and leave me there 3 hours. And I will have the answer by the time I leave the church. Because see, that same church that I showed you in that video had their church open on Tuesday nights for people to go pray at the altar and get on their face. So he knew that that church was open for prayer. So he went to the altar and got on his face before God for 3 hours. I come back to pick him up and I had a different son walk out of that church. Yes, I did. He walked out of that church. He was so humble. weeping face. Those are the most beautiful faces of your children, is when they are humbled before the Lord. And he walked out and he got in that car and he said, Mama, you was right. The Lord told me I have no other choice. I have to quit football. He said, Mama, I want you to pray with me right now that God will give me the grace and the strength to stand up against this school, because they're all after me now. So I held his hand and I prayed with my son. God gave him the strength to go back and face the beast. He went back, and you ain't gonna believe the things he went through. First of all, they would walk by him and slam his face in lockers. I'm talking these football players that are mad that he quit. They were just, you know, testing his resolve. And then they all got together and was playing the team without him in the front of the school on a Saturday, just practicing, playing around, and invited the enemy team in, and they got into a big brawl right in the middle of the yard. The principal suspended the entire team. Guess who they blamed for the suspension? Yes, my son. Told him he was a traitor, and because he had quit the football team, they all got in trouble by the principal, because now they have a curse because Brock left. Yes, they did. So persecution beyond measure that boy went through in his sophomore year when he obeyed the Lord. So he started a group on Tuesday nights, and he would invite all the youth in the city to come in. No matter the denomination or whatever, come in. It was the happening place for youth you ever seen. He would have worship music playing in this room. This church had donated their little fellowship hall for him to use on Tuesday nights, not even our own church. And so he would have the worship music playing. All these kids, when they come in, they knew it was their time to worship. And everybody would get off in their own place, and they would worship the Lord and everything. And then Brock would pray for people. And he one time, he prayed for this girl. He didn't know she was a witch. But she had, her hand was broke, and Brock laid hands on it, and the hand was fixed, and she took the cast off, and it was completely healed. So she went back and showed her coven leader, this Satanist guy. He was the head master, I guess, of the Satanists. He come back to the meeting, walked right up to Brock, and said, "You will not touch my people again." And what he did is he turned around to that girl in front of Brock and reversed the curse, put a curse on that girl's hand, and it went back to limp. And he turned around to Brock. He said, "I'm going to ruin you. You just watch me." So within 3 days, Brock had this growth on his arm, growing underneath his arm. It was like growth to the size of a softball. He had to have emergency surgery. He had these veins running down his arm. Just a demonic attack. But when he was in the hospital to get that removed, this mass, do you know we had 30 pastors from across the city, because they were so well known? And they used to preach as youth in all of these churches, all denominations. Man, my time's already up. Anyway, he made it through the surgery and whatnot. Okay, so anyways, the point is, by the time he was a senior and he went through all his persecution and everything, at his prom, he got a standing ovation. And they told him for 10 minutes, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." Because the sophomore year, junior year, and this should be a movie, really, his senior year, between that time, so many kids got saved, healed, delivered. demons cast out. It was amazing through those 3 years. At his prom, they honored him. And you should read his annual. It's like reading a biography of the testimony after testimony after testimony. Okay, so let me play this song and then we'll be done.
I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. As I entered the gates, I cried, "Holy." The angels all met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. And oh, the sights I saw. But then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy. Holy, holy." I clapped my hands and sang, "Glory, glory to the Son of God." When I entered the gates of that city, my loved ones all knew me well. They carried me from mansion to mansion. And oh, the sights I saw.
I messed up right there, that's okay.
I saw Abraham, there's Isaac and Jacob, Mark and Timothy. But then I said, I want to see Jesus.
Yes.
He's the one who died for me. Then I bowed on my knees and cried, "Holy. Holy, you're so holy, holy." I clapped my hands and sang, "Glory, glory." I sang, "Glory, glory." I clapped my hands and sang, "Glory."
All right, guys, we're going to end this. I got 4 minutes left. I'm going to play you a video of a visual of Acts chapter 4. Here we go.
Peter and John arrested. When Peter told a man who was over 40 years old and who had been lame since birth to get up and walk in the name of Jesus, the man entered the temple courtyard leaping and praising God. Crowds gathered, amazed at this miracle. Peter told them that this man had been healed in the name of Jesus and reminded them that they had handed Jesus over to be crucified. Then he declared that Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter urged them to turn back to God and have their sins forgiven. The captain of the temple guard, the priests and the Sadducees were alarmed to hear Peter preaching that Jesus was alive. They seized Peter and John and put them in prison. However, many people were convinced Jesus had risen from the dead that the number of believers grew to over 5,000. The next morning Peter and John were brought before Annas the high priest, the elders and teachers of the law. By what power or what name did you do this? They demanded to know. Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, replied, "It is in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified but God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." Peter continued, "Salvation can only be in the name of Jesus. There is no other name with the power to save people from their sins." Those listening were astonished at the courage of Peter and John. As the healed man was standing before them, they were lost for words. So they ushered Peter and John out while they discussed what to do. "What can we do?" they asked. "Everyone has seen them perform this miracle, so we cannot deny it. We must stop them speaking about Jesus and doing things in his name." Peter and John were brought back in and commanded not to teach in the name of Jesus. They replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to obey you or to obey God? You be the judges. As for us," Peter announced, "we are going to continue telling others what we have seen and heard." The temple leaders issued further threats not to speak about Jesus. However, they could not punish Peter and John because the people were praising God for what had happened. Peter and John returned to the believers and reported what the chief priests and elders had told them. They responded in prayer to the threats that had been made against them. They prayed for boldness to continue telling others about Jesus and do miracles in his name. When they had finished praying, the building they were in shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking bravely about Jesus to everyone. The believers were united. None of them viewed their possessions as their own, but shared what they had with each other. From time to time, those who owned land and houses sold them and gave the money to the disciples to distribute to the poor and needy. One such man was Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement. He sold a field he owned to help those in need. If you like this video, give it a thumbs up.
All right, guys, we've only got 30 seconds. So I pray you guys have a wonderful day, and I'll see you in a few minutes doing the news in 3 minutes. God bless.